Hello, and welcome to the Song Facts Podcast. I am your host, Corey O'Flanagan, and thank you so much for being here. As always, if you want to take a quick minute and leave us a nice review, we would certainly appreciate that. Come and find me, give me feedback. I love learning and trying to get better at this. I know it's not perfect, but we just thank you for listening. As always, this podcast is proudly a part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. And I'd like to start just to take a moment to reflect, as this is our 100th episode. It seems crazy to say that. I'm just so grateful to have been able to continue to do this show for so long and have learned so much along the way. I've spoken to some truly amazing people and been introduced to incredible music, and that's really just what I love, so thank you so much for listening. And I really can't think of music I would rather talk about than the music of the Grateful Dead, and specifically songs written by Robert Hunter and Jerry Garcia. If you don't know Oteil Burbridge, you should. Oteil has been around the jam band scene for a long time, and most recently played bass with Dead & Company, who had their last tour, maybe, over the summer. Oteil decided to make the album Lovely View of Heaven, which is 8 tunes written by the Hunter-Garcia duo, and more specifically, 8 ballads. You can hear Oteil's jazz influence all over this record, and I have to say his singing is on point as well. You're also going to learn that Oteil has his own podcast called Comes a Time that covers a wide range of things, obviously music, but also UFOs and mental health, so definitely check that out, and please enjoy Oteil Burbridge. Stella Blue, Oteil, man, thank you so much for coming onto the show. I really appreciate it. We had our bumps along the way, but we're here now, and that's really all that matters.
That's right.
I had the opportunity to go up into the mountains 2 days ago. I live in Colorado, and I listened to the album on my drive up there, and what a perfect, nice, chilled out set of songs to listen to on a nice little mountain drive. You did an awesome job. First question.
Thank you.
You got such a large songbook here to go through. How did you pick which tracks you wanted on this? It's an impossible decision-making journey, in my opinion.
You know, this will be a theme probably in all of the questions, but that lyric, let your life proceed by its own design, is something that just comes up over and over again. So literally right up until the very last song that I was recording, or the second to last song, it kept changing. So we ran out of time is the short answer.
Really?
So that defined what we put out, because the second to last song was To Lay Me Down, which is a song that I've done a bunch with my band. And it was the second to last song we were doing, and it just wasn't working. Like, songs that I hadn't sung hardly at all comparatively. Yeah. We're coming out just fine. And to lay me, maybe I felt overconfident about, like, I got this one, let's knock it out, you know, wouldn't work. Fortunately, at my age, I was like, abandon this, come back to it. If there's time, come back, just stop. Don't beat your head against this wall trying to even get one verse out. Just stop, go on to Mission in the Rain. So To Lay Me Down didn't make it on the record, because my voice was starting to give and we ran out of time. So
So it was just the vocal track that you just didn't feel comfortable with what you were putting down as a vocal track. Is that right? The music was there.
Yeah, we did all the music first. Yeah. So I demoed everything at home, piano, bass, lead vocal, background vocals, and a click track. And we cut to that. I sent all that to all the musicians, because everybody's out on the road with all these different gigs, and I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I sent it out to everyone, and they did their homework. And when we got there, we cut to those tracks. We just took away the bass and the keyboards. And so I wouldn't have to sing it at the same time that I was playing the bass. I could be free
okay.
to interpret it on bass the way I wanted to, separately from me singing it. So when you have to multitask, the bass suffers immediately. It just goes into automatic pilot, and I'm not going to take any chances or anything like that, you know? And so, yeah, it sounded complete because we had those lead vocals and background vocals and while I'm cutting the track. So the last 2 days we just did I replaced all the lead vocals. We ended up keeping all the background vocals that I did at home, which I was surprised. But the producer was like, these are fine. Like, why we got to spend more time recutting them? I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And so I had, you know, it's the first time I'm ever singing lead on a record for the whole record. And it's all ballads. And I'm doing 8 tunes the last 2 days. And so I think it was supposed to work out that way because my voice was starting to go on mission in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually helped the track, I think, because you can hear me having to reach for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you can hear me. You can't tell, but you can feel it, like I'm in prayer the whole time, like, help me hit this note. You know, please let me hit it. You know? So I think it actually helped the song, and I think, in retrospect, that's why To Lay Me Down is not on there. But you just have to let it proceed by its own design. You have to let life play out the way it wants to, because you know, you've been old enough to know, you can make all the plans in the world and there's just the current goes somewhere else. You know?
That's so true. And that kind of helps me get into this, because you keep talking about where you recorded this. You uniquely recorded this at a studio in Iceland, which I felt was like this serendipitous thing, because when Peter from Pantheon connected us, my wife and I were in Iceland. We just got back from a little work trip there, doing some photo and video for a company, and I was like, and Peter was like, yeah, he recorded it in Iceland. And I was like, oh wow, so this was just kind of like we were meant to come together right now. That's the way I feel about it. So I how was your experience there? Too. Did you feel like being on that just unique island had any sort of impact on this?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is go with the flow thing too. I live in South Florida on purpose because it never gets cold. And I love that. When my manager was like, hey man, we should really think about recording this record at the studio in Iceland, I was like, eh. Hard no, you know. Now, I had seen Floki Studios because a bunch of my friends recorded there. And even since Joe Russo's gone, Mono Neon, like, you know, but before George Porter, Nikki Glaspy, a bunch of people, you know, and I had done this gig in the Bahamas with this billionaire guy that has all these properties everywhere, and they were building the studio. We're talking about building it. So I was like, can we do it in the Bahamas instead of Iceland? But everybody had recorded there and had such a good thing. So I said, well, when are we talking about, Ben? You know, and it ended up being like December, which is December in Iceland. Okay. But that's my wife's birthday is December 9th. Okay. She had never been to Iceland. I had never been to Iceland. It's not like it was super high up, like in Colorado, where I can't breathe also while I'm cold. And we were like, let's just embrace it. You know, it looks magical. Let's make it a birthday trip. First time both of us have been to do that. And it was, man, as soon as we got there, it was very apparent. You know, the video that you see, that's literally right outside the studio.
Oh, really?
Like the Arctic Ocean is right there. Like you could go run into it from the front door of the studio.
Oh, wow.
And those crazy guys, they surf out there. They have like dry suits. They surf. There's a bunch of surfboards in the slaughterhouse.
We got into some stuff. It's crazy, the locals, how they're just like, weather conditions do not matter to them. I was really impressed with that.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So High Time has got to be one of my favorite Dead ballads.
You didn't mean goodbye. You meant please. Don't let me go. I was having a hard time.
Talk to me about your experience with this tune. How did it make it onto the track list? I just love this version of it. Everything in this, you can definitely get your jazz roots in this album from what I can hear. There's just this smoothness to it that I think that brings. And especially with this song, it's such a unique version of it. So how did this one make the cut?
Well, this was an interesting tune because when I started singing like China Doll and Comes a Time, a bunch of people, friends, fans, would suggest songs to me to sing. And so I just made this huge playlist on YouTube. And then I would just play it around the house. And whatever hit me the strongest, I would work on that next. And I got so many songs from people. I was up to my eyeball. And yeah. I don't know, you know, I'm still new to the catalog. And a bunch of people had said High Time, and I listened to it, and it just didn't really hit me. So finally, you know, I think maybe even a year or two, maybe. I'm bad with time now since the pandemic. Jeff Cementi came to me and he said, "Man, I really think you should check out High Time." He was like, "I can just hear your voice doing that song." And I was like, "Man, so many people have told me that." And it didn't hit me. So I did it out of that big list. It just wasn't on there yet. So I made a note to just learn it, because this has been the secret for me with the Grateful Dead. All of us, to a certain extent, have preferences, and my preferences are my dad's. And so that, you know, colors everything. So if I don't hear A, B, C, and D, I'm like, I move on.
Okay.
And I used to be kind of snobby about it. Like, it's not worth my time, you know, but some things you have to learn to know.
Yeah.
Because if you're only looking for your preferences, you're going to miss a lot. And so when I learned High Time, I learned the music part, and then I learned the vocal, and I could not get that song out of my head for months. Every morning, waking up, I told you, I'm like, enough already.
Yeah.
You know, just like, so I go, next time I saw Kameni, I was like, bro, you were so right about that song.
Stay tuned for more Song Facts Podcast right after this.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
I think it's such a unique thing about the song catalog, because I've been listening to this stuff for, you know, over 20 years, and like songs sneak up on me and I'm like, I feel like I hear it for the first time, and then I just get obsessed for a while. And I don't know if there's another catalog that does that to me. And I think that's kind of the spirit of it that keeps going. It's not just like stuck in that time that it was written. It's why it continues to just expand into new stuff. Yeah. You guys with Dead & Co brought it into so many new ears. That was just incredible. I think I saw 7 of the 8 tours. I think I was seeing most of the shows in Boulder. Nice. I had to miss that. My cousin chose to get married that first week of July this year, so I couldn't make it. But,
because those were good ones, man.
I know. Boy. I know. Believe me, I watched them.
Yeah, man. I'm glad they're on video and audio, dude. Because
Yeah, but you really gotta be there. Something about that stadium with those mountains. I don't know what the view's like from the stage, but you guys get the mountains, the sunset. It is just an amazing experience.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think you're right. These songs in this catalog is very much like jazz in that way. Over a long period of time, something will clobber you over the head that you've known about for a long time, but it just didn't strike you that hard yet, you know? And then you just have a love affair with it. And so now I try to just like be open to everything. And that's hard, because there's a lot of things. Like the older I get, if it's a really loud volume, I don't last as long. I'm like, man, this is just loud constantly. Like, I can't do this for an hour. You know, like I need some rise and fall, some ebb and flow, some contrast. But still, you have to take things, you know, like if I go see, you know, AC/DC, like we know what we're doing.
I know what I'm signing up for.
You're ready for long and loud. You can be in the mood for it, right? You know, so I'm trying to cultivate that attitude, like with everything. And certainly, but like, you know, with China Doll, I think was the first one that really grabbed me. And I was like, a pistol shot at 5 o'clock, the bells of heaven ring. Oh, these are jazz songs. You know, High Time is a jazz tune. I mean, really, it's a country song, but as far as structurally, like the chord changes, you like to solo over that? You have to know how to play changes. It's not like playing over a blues form or a one chord jam or a two chord jam. Yeah. These things twist and turn. It's a very unusual structure for a verse or a solo. I mean, this is why you have this amazing, magical non-coincidence of Jerry Garcia and Robert Hunter meeting, because you put those two things together and whoa, over and over and over and over again.
Like, and it's so rare in musical history, from what I know, that two people who, one lyricist, one puts the music to the lyrics, like that kind of synergy is almost impossible to find, to, and like the magic that they've created doing it. It's, you know, it's Elton John, Bernie Taupin, that kind of thing. They're there too.
Yeah,
but it's so rare to have that happen. Like usually the person writing is doing both, or it's more collaborative, but it would literally be like Hunter turns over a notebook. Jerry's like, I'll make music to that. It's just wild.
It's an unbelievable team they have. I've seen it with like maybe Motown, where you have like, it's a little different because a lot of times it's a three-parter. It's the songwriter and then whoever is doing the arrangement, the music part, who knows the piano the best.
Yeah, yeah.
And the band in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have a lot of, but the bands work very closely. The bands are a big part of writing the music because like in Motown stuff, you know, the bass lines are very important. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the lyricist and the songwriter might've written those, that structure, you know, the skeleton of the song and the lyrics, but the bands really put so much around that skeleton and turned it into one beautiful, beautiful woman and man after another.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, there's, I'm sure we can find a couple of songwriting teams, but very few like Garcia Hunter.
Yeah.
Weir and Barlow.
That's true right, too. You know? That's true too. And two of them in one band. Incredibly.
In one band, like get out of here. You gotta be kidding me. Like, wow. Yeah.
reminder that we're with Oteil Burbridge. He does all sorts of different projects. He's actually going to be going on tour here for a couple weeks. So we'll have that in the show notes when this releases. He'll be out there. So if he's coming near you, go check it out. The new album is Lovely View of Heaven, which is a great little excerpt that you pulled out of there. I really like that. I got two more for you. You've got a podcast too. You want to just give us a little tidbit about that and what you got going on your show?
Yes, our podcast is called Comes a Time and it's on the Pantheon Network. We're really excited about we just signed up with them. We took about a 6-month break and man, it's been so much fun to get back into it because I think it was a real gift of the pandemic. I know a bunch of people started podcasts, obviously, but so many people were home to talk to.
Yeah.
And we got addicted to being able to have conversations like this. Like,
yep.
I don't need to, it doesn't need to be anyone famous. It doesn't need to be, you know, like we don't, technically we're a music podcast, like Pantheon is a music podcast network, but we talk about professional wrestling, aliens, UFOs, like a lot of psychedelic stuff, lots of mental health. Like everything comes back to mental health.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what subject it is. And obviously we do music and comedy because my podcast partner, Mike Fenoya, is a stand-up comedian and a producer for Impractical Jokers.
Oh, wow.
So when we started out, we did mostly musicians and comedians because that's who we had in our phone the easiest. Then we started reaching out to other people to say, I wonder if we could get this person. You know, it's like, hey, I see this guy's got a new book out. Like, you know, so we ended up having Avi Loeb, who is the head of the astronomy department at Harvard, on talking about aliens.
Oh, my God.
I was like, this is coolest shot. I love this podcast, like having your own TV show, you know. So yeah, we had some doozies, man. Paul Stamets, who's one of my heroes, the mycelium expert, you know, and just so many different things, man. We had Diamond Dallas Page on, the professional wrestler.
Oh my God,
talking about his yoga program. Right? Yeah. So we got a professional wrestler talking about yoga and we're all into mental health and every, you know, it's like, I love it. The podcast is like my church. You know,
it can be, very therapeutic just to like have these. I feel like when I get into these conversations, there's so much, there can just be, when you get the openness going and the conversation just flows, you come out the other side of it and you hit stop on the record button and you're just like, oh, that felt good. Like it just is this like euphoric thing that you get out of it. It's a lot like probably like, you know, not anything like playing in front of a stadium full of people, but in the same way you get on the other side of it and you're just like, whoa, that was something.
I think it's very much like it, although maybe it's a yin yang.
Yeah.
Cause it's just about connection. And so a stadium is, you know, obviously a huge number and this is just two,
yep.
You know, but it's the same connection. Like, I feel just as great afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. Dead & Co. as we know it is no longer, but I feel like there's going to be something that carries on. There always is, but there is something coming up here in January. So if people are wanting to see more of this lineup or something similar, Dead Ahead going on down in near Cancun, this looks like an incredible weekend of music. What brought this together, and what can people expect?
Well, I think it was, you know, obviously just everybody's still wanting to play.
Demand is there.
So, well, I mean, we're not done yet, you know? So I think Dead Ahead will be an example, or is an example. Well, I have to say will be, because until it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Until it actually happens. I think it will be an example of what to expect in the future, which is something different maybe every time. Like, we don't know. I don't know. I just found out about it recently myself, like really recently. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I haven't booked anything in January yet, so we're all clear.
You know? Perfect.
So, yeah, I hope that whatever the lineup is, that we end up doing something, but we'll have to see. Like, I don't know. This was a surprise to me, and so anything after it will be a further surprise. But, you know, I'm gonna be there. I'm pretty sure Comenti and Jay Lane are gonna be there. You know, Bob and Mick call us, we're gonna come. You know,
that easy.
And that's how it goes. So, yeah, it's just that easy. Like, you guys want to do it, let's do it. I'll be out here doing it with my band, or we could do it together.
Oh, I really like it. Everyone, go check out this new album. I've been fortunate enough to be able to listen to it. It's so good. It's out, it's streaming. Buy it, get it however you can get it. But it's, if you like this music, you're gonna love this album. Oteel, this is my 100th episode, man. I really appreciate you coming on and chatting with me about my favorite music. So thank you so much. And, you know, maybe we'll do it again down the road. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. I hope we get to do it in person, because all this Zoom stuff is great and I love the connection. And I just always hope that we could repeat it in person, live with each other.
Thank you to Oteel, for the guys over at Pantheon, for setting up this interview. What an awesome album. What an awesome guy. Please check out Lovely View of Heaven. And as always, for the stories behind the songs, go to songfacts.com. See ya.
Get your song back. Get your song back right here.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.